Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Good morning to you. 11 minutes after 9 o'clock. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show. With me today is, well, it's Mayor Thursday, so we should have a mayor on, shouldn't we? And one of them's here. Name is Michelle.
Hello.
Not Tanner, though. Michelle Randall, the mayor of St. George City. Thanks for coming on, Michelle. It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
We also have Robert Myers in here. He is the budget director of St. George City. How's the whole, you guys had like an open house and all, you know, got public feedback and all that stuff. And it always amazes me, Robert and Michelle, that people complain about the budget after it's all approved and done and everything. And where are these people when we're having our open houses and public input and stuff?
Very good question, yeah. Andy. We had about 10 people come.
10.
And we had a two-hour open house, and every department was there, and the budget was broken down in the simplest terms possible. And we're always being accused, you're not transparent, you're not transparent. We are as transparent as they come. Mm. And our budget's on our website. And if somebody wants to take the time to read, how long is it, Robert? 500 and some?
A little over 400 pages.
Oh, 400 pages.
But you have prepared a handy-dandy booklet for us.
Yes.
So.
That's right. And that's under 25 pages and really hits the highlights and some of the key facts you'd want to know.
And I will say this. It's not 25 pages of black and white text. There's graphs and charts and pictures. A guy like me, we like pictures, right?
You know,
I majored in journalism, so that doesn't mean I'm necessarily that smart. But that's awesome, Robert, that we have this tool.
Robert and his team do a phenomenal job. So they start meeting, is it about February, Robert?
Yeah, we really start working on the budget in January, and we start meeting with the departments really start kicking on it off in February, and we start meeting about the end of March through April to go just really start diving through the budget. It's months and months of work. I mean, we're talking basically almost 9 months out of the year we're engaged in working on the city's budget.
They get to relax for about 3 months, and then it's like we're back in budget season again.
Now, Robert, do you do the budget at your house?
Yes.
Okay. I figured you probably did, but that seemed like after having to manage the budget of the entire city, then to have to go home and manage your budget at home is like...
Yeah, it's not quite as fun, but yeah.
He calls this fun, by the way.
It's fun. Well, for him, it is.
I am so glad that we have people like Robert that find it fun and that they get down to every paperclip. We just have an outstanding budget team, and our budget is always balanced because, you know, we're required by law to balance our budget, unlike the federal government.
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't sound like government at the federal level at all.
No. We don't have a printing machine back where our copy machine is.
Yeah, we have to spend within our means, and that's a priority for us every year, to not only just spend within our means, but keep ourselves in a really good, strong financial position for the future. And I think a really good indicator of that is this last year we actually went out for bond ratings.
Mm-hmm.
One of the major bond rating agencies, S&P, reviewed the city's financials, looked at our financial management practices, our policies. They actually upgraded one of our bonds to a AAA bond rating, which is the highest that you can receive. And so I think that's a really, really great distinction
for
the city.
The first time ever.
That's like having a really, really, really good credit rating if you're an individual.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. Now, I'm curious, Robert, as you put your budget together, everybody wants money for this, that, and the other thing. Is it hard for you to prioritize as you work with the city leaders on the no part of things? When people, hey, I want money for this, and you have to say, we can't do that.
Yeah, I can tell you that every year that I've been doing this, and I've been doing it for over 10 years now, there's always more needs than there are funds available to pay for.
Imagine that.
Always. It's always the case. For us, though, one of the big foundational steps of our budget process is we have a meeting with our city council, our goals and budget retreat, really at the beginning of the process, where we have an opportunity to hear from our mayor and council their priorities and goals for the upcoming year, and that really helps guide the recommendations that we include in the budget. So that's a big help in helping us prioritize and figure out where we need to cut and where we need to focus.
Do you have to go back to them sometimes and go, okay, now you said both of these were a priority. We don't have money for both of these. Which one is higher priority?
Yeah, so we actually go back So we have that first meeting in January. We come back in February and say, hey, here's all the projects that we've come up with. And then we actually ask the council to prioritize those. We also ask them to prioritize the positions that are being requested next year to meet the new service demands. And then ultimately we go back once we've provided the budget to the council and spend a full day walking through the budget line by line in detail and get their feedback on the direction that staff has gone based on the priorities they've laid out for us.
How has this changed, this process, with our explosive growth? I moved here 30 years ago, 30-something thousand, 33,000 people were in this town. We're over 100,000 now. How has that changed? How much has that changed things?
Yeah, so a large portion of our budget, $207 million of our budget, it's basically 39%, is all infrastructure and capital investment. And that's a big part of that's growth. As all corners of the community grow, that means we got to make, you know, build new streets, build new utility lines, build new fire stations, add new staff to provide service at adequate service levels, and maintain all the infrastructure. So it's a big part of the budget. I mean, growth has a huge impact on the city's budget.
You know, back when you moved here, mm-hmm. when there was 33,000 people, I'm sure it didn't take 9 months.
When you were like 2 years old, right? 30
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah. I'm sure it didn't take 9 months to do a city budget. Right. It would have been much easier to do. And we have, there's a lot of people that complain that our budget is bloated. We have so much in our budget. How come your budget's bigger than Provo City's budget?
Yeah.
And our cities aren't the same. And I was at a wastewater, Water Conservancy District meeting, board meeting Monday night, and I was talking to Mayor Staley and Mayor Hart and Commissioner Iverson. And St. George will start the bus route to Zion next year. And yep. But right now we have to budget for that and get the buses and hire the positions and everything. Well, there's a bus route in Ivins and there's a bus route in Washington, and this bus route to Zion will be through Hurricane, Leverican, Virgin, Springdale, Rockville. They don't have to account for that in their budget. Mm. We account for all of that in our budget.
So St. George has to pay for it all.
So they pay us for their route, but they don't have to account for all of those buses, the fuel, the repairs, the employees.
Yeah.
And that's the same with the wastewater treatment facility that we treat the waste for Washington, Santa Clara, Ivins, and St. George. That doesn't have to go into their budget. That goes through our budget. And the same for the airport. It services everyone in the county, yet it goes through our budget, not their budget. And so, yes, it makes our budget look a lot larger than the other cities around us or some of the bigger cities. But a lot of those cities don't have those facilities. A regional wastewater treatment facility that is going to expand with, I don't know if you read that the Water Conservancy District just received over $20 billion.
$20.5 million, yeah.
Yeah, million. I wish it was billion because we could
really
get that done.
Yeah.
But
we'd be going to Europe, baby.
To help expand that reuse water system. And so those things, people will give us a bad time, but like Robert said, there's really two categories in this budget that you're looking at. You've got your capital projects, your enterprise funds. Those are things you're going to pay for your power bill if you live in St. George, or you're going to pay for your water, or you're going to pay for that sewer and storm drain and all of that kind of stuff. And then we have our general fund, and that's what funds that's what your property taxes fund our government with, you know?
Yeah. I'm curious, and I don't want to get too far off in the weeds on this, but I'm curious about, so if I remember correctly, St. George is the second biggest geographic city in the state of Utah, number one being Hurricane. And when you think about St. George, okay, most people think about St. George, they think about, you know, right here, what we're looking at, right behind us in St. George, you know, the downtown area, the temple, and even out, you know, maybe if you go a little bit east, but Bloomington is in St. George, Desert Color. is in St. George. The airport, which feels like it's a long ways away. Well, it used to feel like it was a lot further away, but not as much anymore. But that's in St. George. I mean, St. George is humongous. So given that thought, is it a possibility ever that some of these places might try to break off and be their own town, and therefore they would no longer be in the budget? Do you think that's ever going to happen, or do you think that...
No, because Bloomington and Bloomington Hills were once their own little entities, and...
Oh, they tried it.
They tried it, and the city incorporated them in the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't here yet, so I didn't know that.
They couldn't do it on their own. So I think they'll always be part of St. George, and... And the thing is also in this budget, so this budget increased how many million?
Less than 2%, about $6.7 million.
From last year. But you have to carry over every project that isn't done. So big projects like the George Washington expansion, Boulevard expansion, that is carried over into this budget. The 3000 East expansion, that's carried over in this budget. Graveyard Wash was carried over into this budget. Graveyard Wash Reservoir.
And everybody's like, wait a minute, isn't that Santa Clara? Isn't that Ivan?
No,
what is
that's
it?
St. George.
It's St. George, yeah.
Yeah, and then a huge capital project that we have this year in the upcoming budget is the airport tower. And
we need our own control tower.
Yes, we do.
We do.
I've said it many times, but if people don't know, we get our air traffic control out of LAX.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
No sense at all.
No.
So we need our own air traffic control tower just for safety. And as the airport grows and we get more flights in and different airlines, that's a key. So, and that's a big chunk of money. The airport expansion is a big chunk of money. So all of that comes in under your capital projects, and that's the 39% of the budget that Robert alluded to.
Did I hear that they are adding Dallas-Fort Worth this back now, the flight to Dallas-Fort Worth from St. George?
I know they were going to add it. I don't know if it's added yet or okay. not, but I know it is coming.
I will say this, as a person who's lived here for three decades now, getting a flight out of Vegas is such a pain in the neck. You've got to go hours early. You've got to take the shuttle thing and the gigantic lines at TSA and stuff. And this last trip we went on, I flew out of St. George. Oh, my gosh. It was so nice.
So much nicer.
It was amazing. When you're coming back from a trip, you're like, oh, yes, we only have to drive like 10 minutes home.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
Instead of like a hour and a half drive home.
I got to get to my car. It's going to be 8 acres away. Nope, not in St. George. It's just
right out there.
Two rows away.
Yeah. So
nice to have.
We do have a large budget, but we provide a lot of services with the budget we have.
There are people though that say, well, you provide too many services, like the parks and all the trails and everything. It's excessive. Why is the city providing all that stuff? I'm echoing some of the phone calls I've heard in the past about that kind of thing. What would your answer be to them?
My answer would be it is a quality of life issue, and the majority of people love it, and that data was relevant when the geo bomb passed overwhelmingly. And yesterday we just had the grand reopening of Mathis Park.
Yeah.
And I've never seen so many people down and it was at 9 o'clock in the morning before it was blistering hot. So many kids. That playground has been updated with all new equipment. It is a beautiful park. And that's what we want to do with this geo bond is, we have a lot of aging parks. Just look at the one across the street. Mm-hmm. You know, their playground equipment needs replaced. And
she pointed at Sandtown Park, by the way, for those that are wondering.
Yeah, Sandtown Park. And so the geo bond will help us be able to update a lot of those parks. We're building a couple new parks, but they have always been in a development agreement from years back that we've been required to do. So that would be like out by Tahnequint, I can't remember the...
Curly Hollow.
Curly Hollow?
Curly Hollow.
I don't know where that is.
It is by Tahnequint.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And
Curly Hollow.
And that has been in a park master plan for a long time, but we'll finally get around to doing that with this geo bond. So people love our parks. People love our trails. Last night I was driving home and it was hot. My car was saying it was still 102 and it was at 8:30 at night. Mm-hmm. And the trail running by Riverside Drive, there was a ton of people on the trail. Walking, the people that were jogging, I'm like, okay, you're crazy. Good for you. I wish I could do that. Biking, you know, coupled with a stroller. Our trails are used.
I think we've decided in talking with Marianne, who's a fitness guru, and it's about direct sunlight. It can be 90 something, but if the sun's not shining directly on you, this Dixie sun that is so hot, you can handle it, right? Yeah. It's when you go out in that direct sunlight, and even when it's like, say, 88 or 91, and the direct sunlight is brutal.
It is brutal. So. And last, you know, at that time, the sun is starting to set a little, and it was all shaded where they were, and but I thought, people can't tell me that nobody uses the trails, because every time I go by there, there's people on that trail. And last month I was here, somebody asked me about the 1450 East Riverside Trail that was washed out in the flood, that section. And Shane Moore said that will be completed in July.
Okay.
And ready to be reopened and go. So, well,
if anybody knows, Shane knows, right?
If Shane does know. Yes.
It was Shane McAfee before, now Shane Moore.
Yes, Shane Moore. He is our parks director and, well, parks and community services director. That's the title.
Nice. Let's go back to Robert here for a minute. She talked about the Geomon a lot. How does that fit into everything, that your budget and all that?
Yeah, so voters this past November, as you know, overwhelmingly approved the GO bond, and so the city actually went out and issued a part of that debt that we were authorized to issue. We issued a little over $15 million this past April. And in this year's budget, we've included $13 million of projects that are funded from that first tranche of debt issuance to begin moving forward on those 33 projects.
Wait. What was that word? That first what?
Tranche. So we broke up.
I told you I majored in journalism. I don't know that word.
We all just learned this word. I just learned it during COVID, actually.
Tranche.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which is?
Peace. Piece of
first piece.
Yeah,
okay.
First piece.
Right.
Sorry,
thank you, Robert. Yeah,
we've issued the first piece of the GO bond. We were authorized $29 million, so we've issued basically half of it now.
Okay,
and we're planning to do $13 million of projects in the 2025 budget. Six of those will be playground replacements, the Curly Hollow Park Phase One portion of that project, and the Las Colinas Park, which would be a brand-new project, are probably the really big projects. Okay. We've also got design going underway for a number of the other projects that will come in future years as part of the GO bond.
Where is this Las Colinas Park?
Isn't it over by Tahnequin as well?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
There's a community called Las Colinas, and this park is not like your average playground park. It's more older residents over there, I think, and it will connect to a trail over there. And the residents have been emailing us for years now. When's our park coming? When's our park coming? When's our park coming? And now finally they're going to get their park.
It included in those emails, when are you putting pickleball courts in? Are you putting pickleball courts in? Are you putting?
Actually, I haven't had a ton of that lately,
really?
But,
okay.
You know. There are people that are upset that we're redoing our tennis courts because they just think tennis is obsolete now. But there are people that still play tennis.
No, there are. I was a big tennis guy back in the day. I have since converted to pickleball because there's a lot less running. If you know what I'm saying.
But we're going to keep our tennis courts because, you know, like I've always said, I don't play golf. I don't play tennis. I'm not a huge runner.
Do you play pickleball?
I have played pickleball once, I liked it. It was fun. And I liked it because you don't have to run as much. Yeah.
We should have a Michelle Randall pickleball tournament for those that have played less than five times in their life.
Let's not.
That would be fun. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun.
Yeah.
We had a pickleball tournament for all of our employees, and they all had a great time that went out there. They got lessons first.
Nice.
And then they had a little tournament.
Was McAfee given the lessons? Because that guy is...
I think it was Wayne Bullock given the lessons.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Wayne's really good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I played, by the way, in a St. George-sponsored pickleball league in the winter. And it was supposed to be a 3.5 league. But there was one guy who's an employee of the city, and I'm not going to mention his name, But he played in our league. He's not a 3-5 player. He's like a 4.3 guy, and he killed everybody. Of course, he won the league. And so the fix was in. But
yeah, apparently.
All right. So talked about the Geo Bond and the budget. What are, besides the Geo Bond, what are some other big expenditures? I mean, the mind conjures right now, the airport, probably a gigantic one, public transportation. You mentioned infrastructure.
I think outside of infrastructure, this year we've proposed a number of new positions.
Yes.
10 of those are in public safety. So we actually have 9 new officers we'll be hiring this year, in addition to a support staff member that will support our police department, and along with the equipment and gear and vehicles to get those positions up and running. And then on our core service side, so our utilities, public works, and airport, we've got another 10 positions that have been proposed to help respond to the growth that we've seen within the community and continue to provide service at the level that our residents expect us to provide us at.
Ten,
so
10 positions, just for the airport or for the airport and other things?
Airport, most of it's actually in the utility department, so water and wastewater treatment. And then there's one position of the 10 is at the airport, and then 2 are in public works, our streets department.
We'll end up hiring 39 employees in this budget?
34 wow. Additional 34. Employees.
That's right, 34.
That's amazing. All right. Yeah. Hey, I've got Doug on line one. He wants to ask you guys a question. Doug, are you there?
This is Dale.
Oh, Dale. I'm sorry. Maybe I read it wrong. Dale, what's going on, man?
I just want to know how they rationalize having the bus service to go to Zion. I know I went to a budget meeting a couple of years ago, and they said, well, people will have to go to work up there. Why are we paying? I go to work. In fact, I work right now. I drive my own car to work. Why do we? And if I was a high school student and I was free, I'd drive up there. I'm trying to figure out why we need a bus service to go to Zion. There's no people who have friends that come here are going to drive their own car. I talked to them at that time. Michelle just got elected, but she referred us to her budget manager. She said, well, the state pays the federal government pays so much on that, but it's still tax money. Why are we taking up that all the way to Zion just so people can goof around up there and come back free and do that kind of thing? So that's just my question. Why? How do we rationalize the bus service going all the way to Zion?
All the way to Zion. Yeah, good question, yeah. Dale. Thank you. I appreciate that. That actually brings up a great topic. Why are we, has there been enough demand? Is it in demand to have a shuttle service, a bus service to Zion?
It is in demand. St. George Shuttle already provides bus service up there. But we were approached by the county, I don't know how many years ago. I was on the city council at the time. And this was hashed out and hashed out and hashed out. And of course they came to St. George because we're the only one with public transportation. And so they said, can you please do this? Well, we weren't real excited to do this. We looked at the public sector about doing it. And you're going to break, huh? Do you want me to hurry?
I've got a break. No, you keep talking. But I just looked over and I'm like, wow, I'm like 4 minutes past my scheduled break. But keep talking.
Anyway, so it's not only just going to go to Zion, but you people now in Hurricane can have a bus from here to Hurricane or Hurricane to back or all of those other small cities. So anyway, we do have the bus route now and we're stuck with it.
Okay. But do you think it will be used a lot?
I do think it'll get used. Okay. If you saw the amount of traffic that was up there over Memorial Day weekend, it was insanity. The traffic was backed up to Virgin.
Zion is one of the most visited parks in the U.S. Yeah, now, isn't it number 2 or number 3?
It is.
With the 4 million or something like that.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
I'm curious if there will be an effort made then to publicize. So come and get a hotel in St. George because you can take a bus to Zion and not have to deal with the traffic and all that stuff. Because it seemed like a lot of visitors should know about that.
Yeah, Greater Zion will do a campaign on that. And because we want people to be able to use it, it will be pretty inexpensive to take it up there if that's your final destination is Zion.
Yeah, well, I think it.
And there was a grant from the federal government and there was a grant from the state. But the state grant, even if a private entity was to do it, they were still going to get that grant money.
Okay. All We're talking with Michelle Randall, mayor of St. George City, and Robert Myers, who is the budget director for St. George City, the big, gigantic, scary budget that he says it's fun to put it all together.
That's right.
Do you like jigsaw puzzles, too?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Jigsaw puzzles, same kind of thing. All right, we've got a break coming up.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
They had a budget open house, St. George City did, and not that many people came. They also had, I think there's still more public comment stuff coming up too, right?
So next city council meeting, the 13th, and the city council meeting on the 20th are public hearings for anybody who wants to come and comment on the budget.
13th is a week from today.
Week from today and then the following week.
Okay.
At 5 o'clock.
So if you are one of those people that is going to not be happy with the budget, be unhappy with the budget before the budget is approved and not afterwards when you say, I didn't even know and you guys suck and you know all that stuff.
But, yeah. One quick thing, some facts about the city when people say, you know, your budget's huge. And you were talking about how big geographically our city is.
Yes.
We maintain 472 miles of paved road.
Wow.
And we maintain...
That's just the city. That's not the county. That's the city.
That's the city of St. George. 472 paved miles of road. And 540 miles of sewer line. 863 miles of water line. And you have to think about repairing and replacing those and adding new. So as we add new, there's always more. We have 34,980 water connections in St. George. So, you know, all of that goes into these capital project items that Robert brought up, that there's a lot to take care of in St. George.
Well, and the thing that you guys are doing that I think a lot of people maybe don't even think about, and I guess that's the goal, is, you know, when you drive on the road, there's not giant potholes. When you walk down the street, there's a sidewalk to walk on. When you turn on your tap, there's clean water coming out of the tap that you can drink. If you've ever been to a big city, folks, like New York or Washington, D.C. or Philadelphia, or And you drink water out of the tap. Well, first of all, they don't drink water out of the tap in those cities. But if you do happen to drink water out of the tap in some of those cities, it tastes like, it does not taste good. And it's oftentimes a weird color. And yet here we have this crystal clear, beautiful water that I have never hesitated to drink water out of the tap in living in St. George.
Yeah. So, you know, just when you think about all of those miles worth of infrastructure that we're responsible for, it's going to cost some money.
All right, let's do some texts here. Folks, for texting in, 467-5842 is my text line. And you can always call, of course, at 673-5890. Yvette says, can you give us an update on airport travel to California areas? It seems like we are losing a lot of money to Vegas.
I know currently. They're working really hard on a couple of different flights because we have the flight to L.A., We do still have the flight to LA, don't we?
I think so.
Yeah. But they're working on one to like the Bay Area and maybe one into like John Wayne Airport or toward Orange County. So
I love San Diego. I'm hoping we can get one to San Diego someday myself.
But, I do. San Diego's great.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to Los Angeles and visit. I would go to San Diego though.
You get off the. Have you noticed you get off the plane in Los Angeles, and there you can taste the dirt in the air. It just, you're like, what is that?
I haven't been for a while, but it's just not my favorite place.
Okay, another text question for Mayor: the intersection of Mall Drive and Merrill Road and Sandia and 3000 East is getting quite congested, especially when on Sandia trying to turn right onto Mall Drive. There are some power boxes or possibly phone line boxes on the property of the new State Bank of Southern Utah that could be moved in order to widen the road, allowing for a dedicated right turn lane there. This also involves Washington City, adding to the complexity of the situation. Bottom line, can anything be done to ease this congestion?
Possibly. You know, we're expanding all of 3000 East. Eventually 3000 East will be widened to a 5-lane road all the way to the parkway.
Okay.
And she's talking 3000 East, Sandia, that area right there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Sandia, 3000 East, and Mall Drive and Merrill Road, too.
Yeah, because Sandia, I think, is in Washington. So, yeah, you right. do have two cities that have to work together on some of those roadways. So I will mention that to our public works director.
It is. I know. I mean, this was just anecdotal evidence, but last time I was out on Mall Drive and I was going to turn left onto, is that the road that by Lynn's?
Right.
Yeah, and I had to wait through the light two or three times. And, you know, we talked about the Northern Corridor and how if we don't get to Northern, something done, some other alternate route, you're going to be waiting through the light two or three or four or five times on St. George Boulevard to get across town. Same kind of thing here is, yeah, with the congestion, that's not good. Environmentalists, save the tortoises. Well, how about, you know, saving all of us by not letting our cars idle for...
Well, and look at our geography.
Yeah.
I mean, true. you've got a river that runs right through the middle of our city, and you've got bluffs every which way.
You cannot build on that right there.
You can't build something up and over there. And on this Northern Corridor issue, it just ticks you off because they come back and, oh, now it's going to be dangerous because of wildfires. And... So now they want to do a flyover that would almost come up to the top of the Sugarloaf and end over there. That's not going to help anything.
No.
And then the second one, they came to us and said, we'll make St. George Boulevard one way and 100 South one way. That's not north, for one thing. Now we're going right into the city. Can you imagine all that traffic on 100 South where it is homes? There's an elementary school. There's a university. How does that make any sense when you're saying, well, we've got to protect the tortoises where we've got 6,000 acres for them to be moved to? Anyway, don't even get me started on that. But we do have issues when it comes to traffic because of our geography. And so we do need things like the Northern Corridor to move traffic east to west. And the George Washington Boulevard expansion will also help alleviate traffic east to west.
People that know me know I've never been, I am all for environment and tortoises and prairie dogs and cedar and whatever, but... To me, people should be the top priority, and don't ignore the tortoises and the other animals, but people should always be the top priority, in my opinion. So let's take a commercial break.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. Time flies when you're having fun. We only have 7 or 8 minutes left on the program. Michelle Randall, mayor of St. George City, is here, as well as Robert Myers, who is the budget director, who actually enjoy and has fun balancing the budget.
That's right.
A lot of people, Robert, would say, oh, I hate that, but you've embraced it. It is who you are.
It's what I love to do.
It is a good thing that there's people that love to audit. There's a good thing there's people who love to be an engineer, love to crunch numbers. You know, we all have our own thing, and it's a good thing that we have some people that love to do it.
Robert, how did you end up as a city budget guy? Like, do you major in accounting in college?
So my major was in public administration.
Oh, okay.
So you wanted to be
city manager, maybe?
Yeah, maybe one day.
Okay,
sure.
All right.
He's young enough.
So, yeah, budgeting just seemed like a really... I've always enjoyed working with spreadsheets. I've always enjoyed working with numbers. I've just had a natural aptitude for that. And so it was just like a perfect fit when I saw the opportunity to go work for a budget office. I actually started working for a city called Grand Prairie in Texas. About 180,000 people right outside of Dallas. And I began my career there in the budget office and just really enjoyed it, really took to it, and just looked for opportunities to continue to move up.
Nice.
And so, yeah, it's been a
great... And we snagged him. Future, it was a great, great hire.
Future city manager, Robert Myers.
Hey, never know.
Maybe someday.
That'd be cool.
Maybe someday.
He would be fabulous.
Let's talk about the cost of services. If I'm a resident of St. George, and I am I paying more, less, about the same for water and power and gas and all that stuff? Where are we sitting?
Great question. So this year we went back and we wanted to look at how are we doing in the cost we charge our customers, our citizens, for all these core services that they rely on. And when we did the math, we took what the average St. George home is using in power, electricity, water, sewer, what they are on average paying for property tax, et cetera, and said, okay, how would that same home compare if it was dropped in another community within Utah and within Washington County?
Washington and Salt Lake and Provo or Washington City and wherever.
Okay. And I'm happy to report that we provide a really great value. We are the lowest. We are the most affordable of the top 20 cities within Utah, and we are the most affordable within Washington County. So we provide a great bang for your buck.
That's amazing. So the 20 largest cities in the state of Utah, and St. George is the cheapest to live in of all 20?
Yep.
That's amazing.
Of the services you're paying for. Yeah, we're not talking about your housing price
right now. Yeah. No.
Which the city has nothing to do with, by the way.
Right, but the services. That's amazing.
I think it's even more amazing when you think that we are the fifth largest population city in the state. We have the second largest regional footprint. And on top of that, we have a really interesting footprint. We have rivers. We have mesas like we just talked about. Mm-hmm. We have all these things that we have to work around as we build streets and as we build utility lines and parks. And so we have all these requirements, but yet we provide the best value when you look at the top 20 cities in the state and within the cities within Washington County.
That's pretty cool. And how can we keep it that way? I mean, I love it. And I live in St. George City, so yeah. But how do we keep it that way?
I think every year as we go through the budget, we just have to continue to live within our means, continue to look at things really hard and follow the direction that our council's laid out with their priorities, and just continue to do what we've done, which is always be really practical and, again, live within our means.
I was looking at the...
And save for a rainy day.
Save for a rainy day. Literally, sometimes a rainy day, because it all seems to come at once. I was looking at some of the key city statistics. 867 full-time employees in St. George City.
Yep.
That's huge.
It's huge. And then we have about 450 part-time.
Yep.
And that would make... that like the maybe third largest employer in the county? You got the...
We're up there. I think it's still the...
School district's probably number one,
hospital,
right?
School district,
district.
Yeah, we're probably top five.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot of folks. 153 police officers, 79 firefighters, 34,800 service calls. By the way, my son, I don't have time to tell the whole story. Basically, his Apple phone sent out an alert that he'd been in an accident the other night. And I talked with Tiffany Mitchell and dispatch, and they said, yeah, we respond to those. Even though there's no proof there was an accident, we respond to those because if you save one life from an Apple alert, it's worth it.
Yep.
So
exactly.
Pretty cool there. Let's see, 8.3 minutes average priority response time from the police. That's pretty cool. And 9.3 minutes for a fire. Awesome. 51 parks, 577 park acres, and 63.5 miles of paved trails. Wow. Yeah.
We do a lot.
We should all be in better shape, shouldn't we?
should be. Yep. We should be. But I'm very proud of the city we live in. I wouldn't want to live any other place in the whole entire world. And we have an amazing executive staff. We have amazing employees that are very customer service oriented. And they do a great job. And we do it at a great price.
Yeah, a budget price. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Jesse Paul, who was on the show just before this, the Jeremy Larkin show, was talking about it. He says, because he brings people in all the time from out of town looking for houses and stuff, and they cannot believe, they are so amazed at how clean St. George is. Clean.
I just got a voicemail from a few weeks ago, and they were traveling through from Pueblo, Colorado, two retired school teachers. And he just said, Mayor, I just want you to know, we've been everywhere, and we've never seen a more clean city, friendly, safe. He said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep it up. And then he asked if he could give their mayor my number.
I hope your response was, thank you for driving through, now leave.
I said, thank you for your trip. I'm glad you enjoyed your trip. Come back and visit us. And,
visit.
Yeah, visit. Keyword. But
yeah.
I can't take credit for all of that. I have to give credit to our staff and all of our employees.
And I will say just a teeny bit to the fact that we don't have, I've lived in, every town I've lived in my life has had a railroad coming through town. And unfortunately, the central area of the railroad seems to attract crime, graffiti, homelessness, stuff like that. We don't have railroads here. And while that is a negative in some ways, it's a positive in a lot of ways, too.
Yeah. So.
Well, Robert, thanks for coming in today, man. It's been great
to
talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to start this music here. There we go. Michelle, it's always a pleasure. You know you're welcome on the show anytime.
Thank you, Andy, and stay cool this week.
Political season. Michelle does not have to run for mayor this year.
Oh, she's enjoying her
aren't
year.
You, don't you just miss being in a campaign right now?
Oh, terribly.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, Andy.